This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Charles Gross.
Welcome to the Armor of God telecast. We're pleased that you've offered to spend some of your time with us here today. We want to make it worthwhile, and today we want to talk about a very important subject, crucial to the end time. I'd like to begin by reading out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as I read through these verses, I think you'll agree that they describe our day and our age today. It says, beginning in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, they'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." Seems like we're describing Canada, Australia, Europe, and America, doesn't it? Let me go on a little bit farther. It says that it'll be a time when people will be without natural affection. They will be truce breakers. They will be false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They will be traitors. They will be heady. They will be high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It says in verse 5, "From such to turn away, because of that sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." When I read through these verses and similar verses throughout the New Testament in particular, and then benchmark that against the Old Testament prophets, it's a little bit unnerving, because I think that if I can appeal to your innermost thoughts, that you would agree that the world in which we live in today is an unsafe world. And I have grandchildren, perhaps you do as well. I have a wife. I have a close friends. I have a neighborhood that I live in. And honestly, it's a fearful time, because the world today is unlike the world that I grew up as a young child. And all of us know about terrorism. All of us know about what could happen. We know about the potential for biological and chemical damage through our country as well as around the world. And don't we have a little bit of an unsettled feeling down deep inside of ourselves about those that are having to fight for our freedom? And yet, there are soldiers overseas, as we well know, as well as the fact that here in our own country, we have to be concerned about the airports that we go to, going to a shopping mall, going into a grocery store, wherever it might be. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because I think all of us have a little bit of an anxiousness about us, and it may eat away and bear upon the faith that we have. You probably have faith. I would like to believe that you do. If you are an agnostic, or you are an atheist, and you do not believe in God, you even have a faith in what you don't believe. But today I want to talk about those people, or talk to those people, who in fact do have a religious, abiding faith. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things that are not seen. As I was discussing here recently with a group of our ministers, I've never seen many, many tekel upharsin, which comes out of the book of Daniel, written magically on the wall. I have personally never seen an axe head float. I have never seen someone called out of the grave, though I would love to see that at some time. But I do have faith. And I have faith because of things that I do not see, but I know that they are true. It begins with understanding that God exists. And as we begin our program today, I want you to think about your belief in God. Because God either exists or He doesn't. And if He doesn't exist, well, I'm wasting your time today, and we just need to take this Bible and just throw it away. Because this Bible is the book. This is God's word and testimony to us. And if we want to have faith, we must spend time in this book to understand God's will and His direction for our lives today. Well, as we proceed, I do want to begin now by asking you to consider what we're offering today. We have one article and a tape we would like you to request. The article is titled The Assurance of Salvation, and then we have a cassette tape, or it can be ordered in CD format, on Enduring Faith. Both of these items will have a bearing and will be supplemental reading and listening to what we're talking about here today. Assurance of Salvation and Enduring Faith, and just call the numbers or connect to the website that's listed there on the screen. Now let's come back to what we're talking about here, because it's vitally important for us today. Every now and then I have an opportunity to fly with someone in a small aircraft, and there's a little bit of a fear attached to that just because I'm not all that familiar with flying. But one of the things I've always noticed that the pilot does, before we take off, he goes around the airplane and he does a check of the aircraft. He does all sorts of little things, checking the wings, checking the engine, just looking the plane over carefully. And he calls that a walk around. I've asked him about that. It's a walk around. And the reason why he does that is he does a walk around the aircraft to make sure that it is flight worthy. Well, I want to talk to you today about whether or not you are kingdom worthy. You cannot be kingdom worthy if you do not have faith, enduring faith. The kind of faith is going to see you through these difficult and trying times that we've talked about, and you and I both know exist in a way that they never have existed before. It may very well be that Christ will not come back in my lifetime, but I know that He is coming. And He is going to come back in the days that are described here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I cannot help but see that we are snowballing into a time of incredible danger for our country and for our families. So I want to talk to you today about your enduring faith. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and most of you will be familiar with these big three, they're called. So let me just refer to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. At the very end of this chapter, it says, "And now abides faith," is listed first, "hope, charity, these three. But," it says, "the greatest of these is charity." I think we understand that. But faith. When I look at these, faith, hope, and charity, they're a little bit intangible to me. Okay, what is faith, what is hope, and what is charity? I've got a general feeling of what they are, but I want to talk today about a means for measuring your faith. And also it's indicative of the hope that you have as well as the love that you have. What this is the obedience that's evident in your life, because obedience is an indicator of your faith. You know, we think about the great patriarchal figures that are listed in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, and honestly, it's just somewhat difficult to imagine that kind of faith, the kind of faith where Abraham could offer up his son Isaac. You know, you work your mind through that. If you have children, you think, well, how could he do that? Well, he had faith. You look at all the other list of heroes, all those men and women listed in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the chapter that deals with the faithful, and we're left wondering, my, what is it that those folks had that we need today? Well, I would like to tell you that there's a group of people around this world who have that kind of faith. You might be one of them. If not, let's talk about what you can do to have enduring faith, the kind of faith that will see you through this day, this week, this month, however it is that you will be alive on this earth today. And let's be honest about it. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of worry in this old world of ours. So people do labor against the frustrations of, does God hear our prayers? Does God listen to me? Will God intervene for me? I believe I have faith, but how come God doesn't do the things that He apparently did and we can read about in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament? I'd like you to listen to me now as I turn to 1 John chapter 2. And we want to read a few verses here which I think set the tone for this matter of measuring our obedience. And frankly, it's really pretty simple, isn't it? You either are obeying God or you are not obeying God. And if you do have a belief in God, you are going to obey. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. Otherwise, this is all a charade. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith is based upon believing the promises of God. And part of that is responding to 1 John chapter 2. Let me read a few verses to you. "My little children, these things write I to you, that you don't sin." I've got to stop there. I want you to think about your life for a moment. Do you know what sin is? Sin is the transgression of God's holy and righteous and honorable law. That's right, His law. there's definition from the Word of God about the way to live. Unfortunately, in our society today, and it is an overwhelming collection of people who are, it's a gathering storm of individuals who are trying to tell us that this Bible is no longer true, that God does not exist. And as a result, guess what's rampant in our country today and around the world? Disobedience, unlike any I've ever observed before. A disregard for God. In fact, Christian people are being isolated, and actually our numbers are diminishing because people today are fearful of being known as a Christian. And yet we claim here in our country, and it used to be in Canada and Australia, that we are a Christian community, a Christian nation. Where are all the Christian people? Where are those people who know and understand what sin is? Sin is the violation of God's laws. Let me continue reading. And if any man sin, he says, we do have an advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. All right, well, right here we've got to test your faith. Do you believe there is a Father? Do you believe there is a Son, Jesus Christ? And do you understand that there is sin, which becomes evident through the violation of God's will and His laws? It goes on to talk about Christ in verse 2. It says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, listen to this, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, I want you to think about that. If you say that you know God, but you do not keep His commandments, by the way, there are 10 of them. We can't just get away with keeping 4, 5, 6, 8 of them. We can't pick the ones we want to keep. It's the whole law, which is divided into two great principles, loving God, loving your neighbor. Well, let's just be honest about it. Let's say that you blaspheme God's name. That's right. You just dishonor God. You don't honor God in the way that you should. But yet you say that you are a commandment keeper. Well, if you say you are a commandment keeper, but you don't keep the commandments, then you are, this is the language from Scripture, you are a liar. I will tell you this. There are a lot of liars in our world today. There's a lot of liars on television. There are a lot of ministers who are liars. And don't take offense at that. That's true. There are ministers that I hear on television who do not keep the commandments, and they're telling us things that are not true. Well, that's for another program, but I want you to think about that. Let's read on a little bit farther. Verse 5, but whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know we that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought also to walk as he walked. Well, I don't think there's any doubt that Christ walked with unbelievable faith because he had a direct connection to the Heavenly Father. Well, you and I have that same opportunity today. And I want to talk about a little ways in which it can be measured here as you consider your enduring faith. Now, first of all, here in the book of John, since we're here, I want to come back to 1 John chapter 1, and I want to read a verse here in verse 7. I want you to think about what you're going to be doing this weekend. The Church of God International believes in the fourth commandment. We believe that there is a Sabbath day. We believe that day is Saturday. But just for the sake of the illustration, I would like to say, okay, let's say you don't believe that. I would like to challenge you to prove that Saturday is or is not the Sabbath. But just for the sake of the illustration today, let's just say that you're keeping Sunday. What are you going to do this weekend? Are you going to go to church or are you going to stay home? You're going to watch TV? You're going to watch football? You're going to watch soccer? You're going to go to the swimming pool? You're going to go to the golf course? What are you going to do? Remember, the commandment is pretty clear. He that saith, I knoweth him, and does not the commandments, is a liar, if you're not keeping them. So how is it today that people are keeping the commandments of God? Just one simple commandment. That's number 4. Well, why don't we take a look at adultery? Well, there's one. Adultery is just absolutely accepted in our society today. And now deviancy is even allowed off of that commandment, which is the 7th commandment. And today, the ministry of this country and around the world are failing you because they have not stood up and unanimously decried the sin of homosexuality. So guess what happens? People just sort of get inundated with that potential and they think it's so sweet. Well, another subject for another program. We talk about those things on the armor of God. It says here, let's come back to what you're going to be doing this weekend. I want you to notice here in 1 John chapter 1, over in verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, that means with knowledge and truth, as He is in the light, we have, notice what it says here, fellowship with one another. Now, there are people today that they just want to just stay at home and keep church. And I understand those occasions when that's the thing to do because you're just unable to get out. You don't have the gas to get to church. You don't have the weather's against you, whatever it might be. But I'm talking about those people today that are making religion a matter of convenience rather than discipline. You know, serving God is a discipline. It's a privilege. But today people are getting lethargic and lazy. Boy, those commandments, I don't know about those commandments. I profess that I'm a commandment keeper, but you know what? I think I'll just stay home this week because I don't need the fellowship. Well, it says here, if we say that we have then this fellowship, we are to have it one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, so I want to ask, first of all, just a little way of measuring your obedience. Do you, in fact, go to church? Do you believe in the Sabbath day? Yes or no? Yes or no? No in between on that one. You either do or you don't. The next item is whether or not here, as it mentions in verse 8, that you have a keen sense of what sin is. It says here, for if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, this is not a program that dwells upon our sinful nature without talking about the hope of salvation, which is through Jesus Christ, and we have forgiveness of our sins. Yes, we make mistakes, but we can accept the grace of Christ and the grace of God and go on. But, you know, I've met people who don't believe they're sinners. It's just incredible to me. They just don't believe they're sinners. Then they go about their life and they go on sinning. So another little way of measuring this matter of faith, is it supported by obedience? Because if you have the faith, it's going to be supported by something that God knows reinforces your belief. It goes on here in chapter 2 over in verse 15 to talk about something else that's very important in our society today. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What that means is putting the things in this old cultural society of us above God. That's really called idolatry. That's also apostasy. That's worshiping another god. People today worship money, power, home, prestige, looks. All these people absorbed in these extreme makeovers that you hear about. You know, people are just obsessed with themselves. The Bible says here that we must not be enamored with these little appetizing things that come our way through society, which basically peel us away from God's way and orient us toward destructive values. The next thing that's over here in chapter 2 and verse 29, another little way of measuring yourself, verse 29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of Him. Well, you do know whether or not you're doing righteousness. Keeping God's commandments are righteousness. Now, you either are or you aren't. There's no in between there. Another way of discerning whether or not you have a belief, a faith in God that says, listen, I believe in His promises. I believe in what He says. I believe Christ is coming back. I believe this book is true. Because of that, I'm going to do what He says. Well, right there, we read one thing we must do over in verse 29. Now in chapter 3, and this is so very important, over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, that's right, in the face of the skeptics, I will scoff at them and say, don't confuse us with lies. Christ is coming back. This is His word. I'm basing my life on it. You base your life on it because Christ is the light. Christ is going to come back, and He's looking for a remnant group of people who are obeying Him, who have faith in Him, who even though they pray at night, and I'm sure this has happened to you, and I have wondered in the vagaries of uncertainty, talking about different needs in my life and in our church and our ministry and people who write to us for prayer and for healing. I have wondered, why is it appears that their prayers are not answered? Is it because I don't have enough faith? And I have come to see that that's not the question. That's not the responsible question to ask. The question rather to ask is this: praying regularly and faithfully in the absence of those things that I might ask or seek, that in itself is a worship act of faith. Because every time you and I pray to our God without the answers that we might expect, God sees our heart and He says, you know, that person, that man or that woman, that church, they believe in me. They have hope in me. They have never seen me, but they have my word, and they're praying as they should. Well, there's so many other things here. Let me give you a couple of other things I want you to think about. Chapter 3 and verse 3, right after the one we just read. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And I want to call upon you today, to, as you have this desire to develop enduring faith, to see us through these difficult days that we live in now and will face in the future, that you purify yourself. The way you do that is real simple. You know there's a right way, you know there's a wrong way. It's defined by this. It's not defined by man. You know, the Scripture says, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Unfortunately, ministers today, men today, can't even figure out what the truth is when it's just right here. And you can open up this Bible, the pages of your Bible, and you can course through it. And you know, you can understand things that theologians miss because of their pride and their vanity and their ego. You can understand it. It's just that simple. I want you to listen now in chapter 3. This is still in 1 John chapter 3. Now verses 18 to 19. He says here, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So let's just not give it lip service. Let us love in word and in deed. What we say and how we act. Two things there. Now you may be struggling a little bit in your life, maybe a lot. There's a way out. You can develop faith that will see you through these anxious times, that will unburden you because you believe in the promises that Christ gave to His disciples and He gave to His church today. They were true then, and they are true now, and they will be true tomorrow. Faith. Just think of those heroes' names in Hebrews chapter 11. People just like yourself, men and women who were fraught with, well, just the worst of human nature sometimes. They would tell untruths. They would seem to be weak. They would seem to be less than noble. And yet they had a belief in God's promises. When I read that chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, I see myself a little bit, only in the fact that I'm just like they were in their frailties, in their humanness. Maybe it would be appropriate here to turn over there and read to you a couple of verses that are very, very important for us out of the book of Hebrews, this chapter about faith. I've known people of faith. Boy, they're terrific people to be around. They tend to really encourage you and to provide that excitement to remain convicted. I want you to see here in Hebrews chapter 11, I've quoted this to you a couple of times, but let me read it to you now. Verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen." And it says in verse 3, "Through faith we understand," through faith, "that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." I know that God made this earth. I don't know how He did it. He made it out of nothingness, and I'm not sure I can even define nothingness for you. But one day it didn't exist, the next day it did, and I believe that right down to the ground. Verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So I challenge you as we close the program today to develop encouraging faith, and it begins with believing that God and Christ exist. There is a plan and there's a purpose, and that this is the word and testimony that God has given to us to live by. It is full of promises. Some have speculated as many as 7,000 promises. Well, you know what? Every one of those promises is going to be fulfilled. It's a time for faith. These are serious days. And as families, as men and women who need conviction, you have enduring faith. You must have it. If you don't, you go out and develop it by believing in the Scripture.
You know, we live in some pretty trialsome times, don't we? Charles also pointed out that even the Apostle Paul forewarned a young evangelist named Timothy over there in his second book, chapter 3, of how in the latter days there would be very perilous times, that men would abandon doing the right thing to his fellow man. He'd be lovers of themselves. Even Jesus Christ himself wondered out loud as to whether or not when he returns to this planet, would there in fact be faith upon his arrival. You know, friends, it's no secret. In our highly developed technological era, we are a creation that is becoming far more humanistic, very self-sufficient, and immensely independent. Oh yes, my friends, God is being pushed right out of our culture. We don't want him in our schools anymore. We don't want him in our court buildings anymore. We don't want his name on our money, and we don't want him in our Pledge of Allegiance, at least here in the United States. Charles indicated that, frankly, God and Christianity are under attack, under siege, and having faith in this material world is consequently becoming harder and harder to achieve. And yet, ironically, we are encouraged by the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 6, that if we want to please God, we must have faith. Look at this. Let me read this to you here in chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, and in verse 6. And I read, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Oh, yes, my friends, that's right. God expects you and I to have faith and to build faith. And you know how you do that? You know how you build faith? Well, you do it through knowledge. That's one way. And secondly, then, through applied knowledge. That's right, taking opportunity to act out what you learn. And that's why it's important that you go ahead right now, dial 888-578-8791 and obtain the material that we have to help you gain the knowledge for the purpose of building your faith. Ask the operator for the booklet titled Assurance of Salvation and the one-hour tape titled Enduring Faith. Both are available to you free of charge. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791 or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. Don't forget also to let the operator know which format you would prefer, be it CD or cassette. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you to keep on that whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by